33 Days to Eucharistic Glory by Matthew Kelly. Day 22, A Difficult Teaching. Live justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. A few years ago, I wrote a book titled Difficult Teachings. The subtitle is The 40 Most Challenging Teachings of Jesus. Jesus didn't promise an easy life. But for 2,000 years, people have been trying to combine Christianity with an easy life. They are incompatible. Not only did Jesus not promise an easy life, he promised us the opposite. When I reflect on these 40 teachings now, I realize they are the teachings Christians have been avoiding since the beginning. When Jesus was walking the dusty roads along the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, his listeners struggled to understand and embrace some of his teachings more than others, but none more than the difficult teachings we are about to explore. More than any other teaching, it was the one that his followers and most critics alike struggled to get their hearts and minds around. Nothing has changed since then in this regard. It has been a source of controversy and division ever since. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is the central moment in Jesus' public life. There are two moments when the people really struggled to understand what Jesus was saying. When Jesus explained that if they were to tore down the temple, he would rebuild it in 3 days. And what he is saying about being the bread of life. There are three other verses in this discourse that I would like to explore briefly with you, but it's worth reflecting on this whole section of John's Gospel, John 6:22-71. It is a rich with meaning and foreshadows not only the rest of Jesus's life, but also the life of the Catholic Church ever since. How did the people respond? They had three reactions. Here is the first. The people then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" John 6:52. We make so many assumptions and we believe our assumptions, but in truth, in most situations, we should question, challenge, and test our assumptions because the wrong assumptions make it possible to reach valid conclusions. It's subtle, but do you see the assumption in the verse I just read? I'll share it again. The people then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Did you catch it? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They are operating under the assumption that Jesus is just a man, and that the assumption makes it impossible for them to understand what Jesus is saying. Never mind, believe it. If a homeless person tells you he is going to give you a letter of recommendation in a full scholarship to Harvard, you would naturally be skeptical and dismissive. That's the kind of situation that is playing out in this part of the gospel. The people won't accept who Jesus really is, and so they are incapable of comprehending all he can do for them. Then we move on to their second reaction. And this reaction is especially relevant today, given all that is transpiring in our culture. Many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" John 6:60. Notice they didn't say, "We don't understand," or even, "We don't want to live this teaching," or, "Can you explain this a little more?" They didn't even want to listen to it. They didn't even want to hear it. This is the attitude of today's culture, and not only in relation to matters of faith. The poverty of mind and spirit has descended so low that this is now the attitude of the culture toward objective truths and scientific and biological realities. For thousands of years, a person who refused to acknowledge reality was considered a denialist and mentally ill. Today, you can deny reality and be celebrated and enlightened. Is that not a sign that the culture itself is very sick indeed? I was reading about mental illness recently for a project I am working on and came upon the description of schizophrenia, which is a tragic and desperately sad mental illness. Schizophrenia is a serious mental health condition that causes disordered ideas, beliefs, and experiences. In a sense, people with schizophrenia lose touch with reality and do not know which thoughts and experiences are real and which are not. It was the last line that got me thinking about today's culture. People with schizophrenia lose touch with reality and do not know which thoughts and experiences are real and which are not. When we are not willing to even listen to the other side of an argument, we are dangerously open ourselves to deception and tyranny of the worst kind. When a culture begins to deny objective reality, it is teetering on the edge of destruction. To understand how far our culture has wandered from the gospel, you only need to consider that objective truth cannot even be uttered in many situations today. But we disagree, and we digress. The people's third reaction to Jesus' bread of life discourse was to abandon Jesus. After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. John 6:66. From the very beginning, the Eucharist has been a lightning rod, a point of connection and division. Regardless of what we have thought before or believe now, let us ask the Lord to open our hearts, minds, and souls to a deeper understanding of the Eucharist today, and with each passing day for the rest of our lives. We are all hungry for something. Figuring out what we are really hungry for is one of the great spiritual quests of life. There are so many different types of hunger. There is, of course, the natural hunger for food. Some people are hungry for comfort. Others are hungry to belong. Still others for success, safety, adventure, security, travel. To be human is to be hungry. Do you know what you are hungry for? It takes an incredible spiritual awareness to work out over time what we are really hungry for. We may think that our hunger is for one thing, but once we have had our fill of that thing, we discover that the hunger is still there and deeper than ever. What is the purpose of hunger? Every yearning we experience as human beings is a yearning for something more complete. The ultimate spiritual awareness leads us to understand that every yearning is in some mysterious way a yearning for God. God speaks to us in our hunger. He uses our hunger to teach us and guide us. While we are searching far and wide in this world for something to satisfy our hunger, God is waiting to feed us the one thing that truly satisfies Himself. None of this is to say that physical hunger is unimportant. We have a legitimate need for nourishment. Many people in the world are desperately hungry for food, and dismissing that need would be a cruel and inhumane. God desires a world where everyone is physically well-fed, and we have a moral obligation to feed the hungry. But it is also true that our physical hunger is endless. You cannot eat enough hamburgers or rice or vegetables to never be hungry again. In just a few short hours, your body will begin to crave more nourishment. Why does God make us this way? We cannot know the full reasons, but one explanation is that He knows we need constant reminders of our much deeper and more important spiritual hunger. Our constant physical hunger is meant to reveal our constant spiritual hunger for God. Each time our stomach growls, that is a reminder that our soul cries for our nourishment too. Our soul doesn't literally growl, but it does send us messages like, "I want greater meaning. You have so much more to offer. There must be more to life." And the sad truth is that for as many people who are physically hungry in the world, there are far more who are starving their souls. But unlike our physical hunger, this spiritual hunger does have a way to be perfectly and completely fulfilled. In John 6:35, Jesus speaks these words, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." In the 2,000 years since Jesus spoke these words, they have not lost an ounce of relevance or power. Read them again. Do you feel your soul stirring? That's because they reveal a life-changing truth. God wants to feed your soul. He wants to feed you perfectly with Himself. That is the beauty and power of the Eucharist. So let me ask you a question. What are you hungry for right now? What is God saying to you through your hunger? How is He using that hunger to lead you to Him? Whether you are hungry for greater purpose in your life, a more fulfilling relationship, more meaningful work, rest, clarity, inspiration, joy, hope, peace, You won't be satisfied by the shallow things of the world. Jesus is waiting in the Eucharist to give you exactly what you need. It's time to begin truly paying attention to the hunger in your soul. You can try to ignore it or deny it or pretend it isn't there, but it will never simply disappear. It is an invitation from God, and He will never cease trying to draw you to Himself. The hunger in your soul is a good thing. Follow where it leads. Trust, surrender, believe, receive. Lesson: only God can satisfy your endless longing. Allow Him to respond to your needs and feed you spiritually with the Eucharist. Virtue of the day: courage. The virtue of courage is moral strength in the face of danger or difficulty, especially in the face of anything that opposes our faith. Courage allows us to stand in our fears and do what is good, right, just, and noble. Everything significant in life requires courage. Spiritual communion. Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. Every day I long for more of you. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot receive you sacramentally at this moment, I invite you to come and dwell in my heart. May this spiritual communion increase my desire for the Eucharist. You are the healer of my soul. Take the blindness from my eyes, the deafness from my ears, the darkness from my mind, and the hardness from my heart. Fill me with grace, wisdom, and courage to do your will in all things. My Lord and my God, draw me close to you, nearer than ever before. Amen. Christ our King, thy kingdom come. Mary, most holy, Mother of the Eucharist, pray for us.